Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and appreciate you tuning us in, dear friends, as we begin a brand new topic of study for our allotted time today here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. I honor to be the pulpit minister for the Arlington Church of Christ. Invite you to come out and join us at any chance that you may have. We're going to talk about today Samson, one of the judges in the Old Testament. So I encourage you to take your copy of the Old Testament and go to the book of Judges. And although we're going to give an overview of the life of Samson, I really want to parallel Samson's life with what sin does to us. You can find any of these lessons, by the way, as we're turning to the book of Judges, chapter 13, anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. Be glad to afford those to you. Absolutely no cost. They're on there for you. As we look at the book of Judges, it's a unique book in the Bible. They're all unique, I guess, in a way. But with the book of Judges, it involves a cycle period that lasted about 450 years, where God's people would be wicked. They would call out for redemption, for relief. God would raise up a judge from among the people. He would rule for a specified amount of time. And the people were good and faithful while the judge lived. That judge, in the course of time, would pass away. The people would hang on to their faithfulness for a little while longer. Then they would begin that cycle again. And they would, once there's no judge, they would fall into disarray and rebellion against God's law. Then they would cry out when their enemies opposed them. God would raise up a judge from among them who would rule for a specified time, and things would be good. And we just complete this cycle all the way through the book of Judges and really into the book of 1 Samuel. What we see here is Samson is a person that we love to talk about at vacation Bible schools. We love to study him in Bible class and bring sermons from him. When we look at the book of Judges, really, Samson gets about the most amount of space recorded, even more than Gideon, who's also one of the more famous judges, if you will. And some judges, as you read through the book, it's a good, interesting read, the book of Judges. Some judges just get 3 or 4 verses. So there's a lot recorded about Samson. And we see beginning in chapter 13 that Samson's birth was foretold. He would be a Nazarite. He would take that vow in that he cannot have wine. He cannot shave his head. He had long hair. He was not to touch anything unclean. And in doing so, God was going to give him almost superhuman strength. We call him the strongest man there for a reason. So the birth of Samson happens. Samson becomes a judge. And in chapter 14, we see Samson is married, and there's a whole ordeal with that. Chapter 15, Samson goes to get revenge. Samson would like to mess with people. When we tell this story in Vacation Bible School, whatnot, I like to picture, he took all these foxes and tied their tails together, put a torch between their tails, and set them loose on his enemies, and just let them run through the city, catching everything on fire. And I just want to know, how long exactly did it take to grab all those animals? We also see in chapter 15 that Samson was fighting, and in fact, in verse 15, he found the new jawbone of a donkey, put it in his hand, and took it, and he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. So he had all this great strength, and yet he still was trying to serve the Lord. We begin our story in chapter 16 of the book of Judges. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot, went in unto her, shouldn't have done that. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come thither. And they brought him in, laid in wait for him all night at the gate of the city, were quiet till the morning. They said, today is the day we shall kill him. And he lay till midnight, and arose at midnight. Now, these people are hanging out by the gates, just to show you his strength. He took the doors of the gate, would have been probably 20 feet tall, and the post with them, bar and all, carried them and put them on top of the hill before Hebron. See, his enemies are trying to hide behind this gate, and he just moves the whole gate. That just shows you the immense power of Samson. But begin in verse 4. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her, and they said, "Entice him, and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah is approached with a get-rich-quick scheme, if you will. And so she says to Samson, verse 6, "Tell me, I pray thee, where your great strength lies, where you might be bound to afflict." You see, he's in love with Delilah. I never read she's in love with him. And Samson said unto her, now his strength's in his hair, not cutting his hair. That's keeping God a promise with God. But he says, "If they bind me with 7 green withes," so basically with new cords that were never dried, "then I shall be weak," if you will. These would still be damp cords. He said, "I'll be weak like anybody else." The lords of the Philistines, they bring up 7 which had not been dried. She bound him with him. Verse 9, "Now these men were lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber." It almost makes you think they're in the same room. "And the said unto him, 'The Philistines be upon you, Samson.'" And so he break those cords. It's just almost as if he just pulled his arms apart, like he was tied together with thread. "And Delilah said to Samson, 'Behold, you've mocked me. You told me lies. I thought you loved me. Now pray me, I tell thee,'" verse 10, "'where you might be bound.' And he said, 'Well, if they bind me fast with new ropes,'" not just cords, but new ropes, "'then I shall be weak and like another man.' So she took the new ropes, bound him, and said, 'The Philistines be upon you, Samson.' And they were lying in wait, and he brake them off his arms as if it were a thread. And Delilah, verse 13, said unto Samson, 'Hitherto you've mocked me and told me lies, where you might be bound.'" You know, sin tries to wear us down. Even on our best guards, sometimes we get close to revealing our secrets, right? He said, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into a web, I will lose my strength." Verse 14, she did that, and he woke up, and she was mad. He did not lose his strength, but we've got to pause and give an invitation for you to come join us at Arlington, and we'll be back, continue the story, so stay with us on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we're back on Reading the Word. Appreciate you being with us. Looking at the story of Samson in Judges chapter 16. Let's pick right back up in verse 15. Delilah is tempting Samson, saying, "If you love me, because you say you love me." We don't read of her loving him. But he loves her, and she said, "Well, tell me where your strength lies." Verse 15, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me 3 times. And it came to pass daily." She pressed him daily with her words, urged him. His soul was vexed to death. Dear friends, that's what sin does. We're talking about sin today. Sin, it hangs around the door. Sin will keep pestering us until we give in. So he told her finally in verse 17, he gives in, that "no, there's never come a razor upon my head. I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, my strength will go from me. That I will become weak like any other man." And after Delilah saw he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up at once. He's told me all his heart." They came in, and in verse 19, she makes him go to sleep and to cut his hair off, and his strength went from him. We're talking about Samson and sin. And really from verses 16, chapter 16, verses 20 and 21, 3 things that sin will do to us. You ready? Number 1, sin will bind us. Verse 20, "And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' He awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as the other times before and shake myself.' But he didn't know the Lord had departed from him." So he's in a bind. See, sin will cost us our freedom, dear friends. Serving sin causes us to lose our freedom that we have with serving God. Number 2, verse 21, sin will blind us. The Philistines, they took him, they put out his eyes, literally bored out his eyes. The thought, that's awful to think about, really. So they stuck something sharp behind his eye and popped it out. They literally blinded him. Dear friends, sin will blind us. He lost his vision. And how many times is someone living a life of sin, they're blinded to faithfulness because they're going here, there, and everywhere except where they should go to serve the Lord. But notice, they put out his eyes, verse 21, took him down to Gaza, and they bound him with feathers of brass. Once again, he was blinded. And he did, number three, grind in the house of the prison, or he lost his dignity. See, he was the strongest man. Now he's got a shaved head, no eyes, and no strength. And so he is grinding, if you will. He has lost his dignity. And dear friends, sin will blind us, cause us to lose our freedom. Sin will blind us. We can't see right. And sin will grind us. We will lose our dignity as well. But luckily, the story ends up a little bit better for Samson than if you just leave off there. They take him to a big arena, if you will, that would have been multiple stories, probably three or four. The higher the story, the more official these people were. And they took Samson and they put him, verse 25, between the two pillars. And his arms are just like shackled up against it. And he said unto the lad, let me feel the pillars where I'm on, that I may lean on them. He's blind now, after all. He spent his whole life sighted. Now he can't see. The house was full of people, about 3,000 men and women. And verse 28, Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the middle pillars upon which the house stood. One was bore up on the right and one on the left. And he said, verse 30, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the Lord's, and all the people were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they in all his life. We see an idea of repentance here. He is turned back to God. And God gives him strength one more time. That's why we often say that Samson literally brought the house down, because he did. He shackled between those two posts. And he turns to God penitently, which repentance is penitence. And he asks God for strength one final time. It's like he gets all his strength and just pushes those two support pillars, and the whole place comes tumbling down. And what's amazing is he killed more in this instance than he had killed previously. And we were just talking about how he killed 1,000 one night with the jawbone of a donkey. But why are we talking about Samson, other than the fact it's just a fun story? As we look at our lives, we try to avoid sin. We look at sin as if it was Delilah there pestering him day in and day out. Tell me, tell me, tell me, I thought you loved me. Why won't you do this? I thought you loved me. Why won't you do this? And that'll wear a man down, dear friends. I'll tell you, that will wear a man down, but we must be strong. We see three things. I'll mention them again. We'll close out our lesson about Samson and sin. Number one, sin will bind you, because Samson lost his freedom. When we're living in sin, we lose our freedom as well. Number two, sin will blind you. Samson lost his vision. Literally, his eyes were plucked, bored out of his skull. We lose our spiritual vision. We can't see right from wrong. If you get too lost in sin, people find a hard time. Just look at the world around us today. They have a hard time finding right from wrong. And number three, sin will grind you. Samson lost his dignity as he stood there shackled to those posts, as he was treated just like an ordinary prisoner. Sin will grind us. We will lose our dignity as well. It's not dignified to do something that's sin, whether it's consuming alcohol or aborting or whatever the case may be. No sin is dignified. I'll just be here and I'll say that to my dying day. Learn the lesson from Samson. And do our best to avoid sin. Thankfully, we have something he didn't have. We have Jesus Christ's death upon the cross, where our sins can truly be forgiven. Be submissive to that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and living a faithful life as a Christian. Love to study more with you. You can find contact info and this program again online. That's readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G. Readingtheword.net. Click on where it says radio program. You can find this one and all the others on there. Lord willing, we'll begin a brand new topic of study next week, so hope you will join us for that. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.